Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. Well, this morning, I've got to share with you before I jump into my message. I had said in 2 weeks I'm preaching this message, and then I've got so much I'm working on with it. I'm plowing through and just gathering data and stuff, and I'm so excited. I can't wait for next Sunday. I don't know what you're going to do all week, but just be excited to come back next Sunday. So I have been working on a message, and I don't believe this is just a message that I'm coming up with. I believe it's a prophetic declaration that God has shown me, because I do carry that gift in my spirit. And I want to tell you, for those online that are not from Canada and for those across Canada, I just really felt I have to preach on this message, which is going to be entitled Life Lessons from the Jays World Series Game from A to Z. And for the Americans, Z. Life lessons. It's so power-packed that I'm buzzing. Because remember, there was such a bustling. There was such an exuberance, and then there's a lull. And I want to talk to the church, because God is going to show us some life. You cannot afford to miss next week. Not even online. You cannot afford to miss. So you be praying that God just say, hold her down, Lord, hold her down. Today, let me just deposit another word from the Lord for us to help us on our journey and to give God thanks for all that he's done for us. My message today is helping or hoarding. Helping or hoarding, how would you respond? Last Sunday, those that were in-house, you didn't realize that there was another message online. Online, as you watched the message last week, some of you were saying, how come church was so short when our pastor is always so long-winded? Because we had an incredible couple here that are from a restricted access nation where they could not be seen in any form or shape on social media or online. And so having discovered that in the week, I had to preach a message to you, which came out of a part of my message here. And this, don't go anywhere. I've got a lot more good stuff coming. That was just part A. I've got the rest today for everyone. And in-house, you didn't realize online had the first part of your message, so we're jumping in the second part today. So you're just going to have to catch up, because they're already on. But it was, how many enjoyed that couple last week? And she shared something with us that I was so surprised. She said, did you see how flushed I was? I had morning sickness the whole time. We're like, no. Did you ever notice? She was so stellar and strong. And that's what happens when you just give yourself to the Lord. He takes you through even when you think you can't make it. So I thank God for them. All right, so here we are, online part two of your message from last week. And here we go. My message today, as I said, is helping or hoarding. Nothing at all should help cause us to come to that state. We are realizing today that in our modern day society, there's a striving that's going on, not an enjoyment of life, a striving. In this progressive world, there's a nonchalance where people are taking God's blessings so lightly and tritely, but in the same time developing a tendency to fear everything that's going on and to have these fears and anxieties so that they then move into fearful hoarding and hiding and developing what the world is calling now a scarcity mentality. It is not of God that we, the children of the Lord that knows our God, develop that type of secular mindset as if God has died and we're left on our own here to exist through the trials and tribulations yet to come. Are you going to be with me in this message? You can shout an amen anytime, because online we'll do some emojis just in case you're not doing any in here. So my cry and my appeal to each one of us, myself included, Lord, help us to transition out of fearfulness and into faithfulness. Help us to transition out of fearfulness and into faithfulness. The challenges of this onslaught that I shared is that disasters are coming and they're becoming overwhelming. And it's, friends, here's the deal. It's not going to stop anytime soon. Disasters can come to any nation at any time, in any manner, regardless of that country's economic strength or current prosperity. It is prophesied that this word is unchangeable. Matthew 24, verse 6 to 7. The Bible says this, and God cannot wipe it out of the Bible. Atheists may want to remove it. Ungodly people may want to strike it down. They may even call the Bible hate crime, as they're now saying. But it does not change the word of God. Matthew 24, 6 to 7. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Have we? But what does the word of God tell us? But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. That's why there's such a fear. Because those who love God and know God are saying, even so, Lord, come now, now, now. And God's saying, yeah, but there's a whole world to be redeemed. If I come now, 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 you make it, but millions don't. That's why he's being so generous in giving us time. Nation will go against nation. Did you ever think you'd live to see that coming so close? And kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. Where? Where? Right now, both Jamaica and Haiti are powerful, resilient nations. And currently, many are living without life necessities of food and water. But they're attesting to one thing. If God is with them, they'll be able to make it. One of our members reached her sister finally, or her sister reached her finally. And she says, what can we do? Because it's hard to get anything immediately. She said, just want water. Just water. What do we do here in North America? How many of your kids turn on the tap and never turn it off? Perhaps we need to be teaching them that there are children right now crying in nations, not just in earthquake or hurricane nations, but in nations of drought. What are they asking for? Just water. So that's why I said there's a nonchalance where when we take things for granted, we forget that it is a gift of God. It's not because we're so good. But I want to encourage us today, as I'm hearing from the different stories, faith and spirituality is rising again, and we're seeing it in nations that are under oppression. Can I please beg you, my friends, because I love you, you love me, we love Canada, please don't let God have to allow us to feel it so we can begin to live it. Come on now. North America is blessed, but when we turn our backs to the Lord and the word of the Lord, do you know the nations that are crying out to God right now are nations under oppression? We don't need to get there. We just need to rise up in faith. The greatest poverty today, it's not the poverty around the world, it's spiritual poverty. People are created to believe. Everyone believes in something, be it truth or falsehood, good or evil, upright or destructive. It is within every human. It is their nature to believe something. And so we who have the good news know that we have to dispense it, share it, and live it Because there are others who are trying to live out what they believe, but they don't know what they believe. Do you know what you believe? I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the three in one. And because of that, I have everything. So fearfulness and faithlessness are ultimately destructive. I always tell you, you're not allowed to pull out your phone to do your text message or read your Instagram pop-up that just came, but you can use it to snapshot what you're going to post out there. That's the only time. And don't forget, your pastor can tell the difference between snapshotting and between reading your Instagram. Let me demonstrate. Snapshot. Reading Instagram. It's when I see the head go, I went, oh, you're off. It's okay. It's this bird's eye view from up here. Don't you just love it? Exodus chapter 16, verse 15 to 21. This is a demonstration of faithlessness. I'm going to read it to you. It's a story of God's miraculous provision. Moses told them, this is when they're walking through the wilderness. He says, it, meaning manna, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry at them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. This demonstration of faithfulness is where Moses was saying, are you going to trust God that he'll provide each day? Or are you going to provide for you and store up so that you can take care of you each day? There's a secular mentality, got to take care of who? Say it, take care of? And what's the, there's it, take care of? Number? Is that godly? Moses was proving to them, morning by morning, new mercies. See, what happens when we begin to develop a hoarding mentality, we think we're the God of our lives. We're responsible to make sure if there's any eventuality, I have it prepared. Folks, we don't know what eventuality will come. We don't. So we've got to know that what we've stored up is the richness of our spirit that believes God even in the midst of impossibilities. So we must develop a faith to trust God and to also share whatever we've got whenever it is necessary. Why is this important? It's important because sometimes it may not be your nation, but we are responsible to remember everyone. Another time it may be yours. You know what's interesting? Is how we cry when it's ours. Philippines, they've had some horrible earthquakes, right? But not everyone jumped up and went, oh, the Philippines has an earthquake, but you felt it because your family felt it. I could go through the different nations. See, when others are feeling it, we're like, oh, that's not, I have no interest there. Folks, that's what I'm saying. We've got to develop a new spirit about that because we have no idea what tomorrow holds except that God holds us in his hands. And that's why we should constantly be encouraging others to kickstart their faith in what God will do in our future, not what we can do. I'm going to tell you, folks, save up, handle your finances well, make sure you prepare for the rainy days. But don't feel in your heart that you can prepare for anything that will ever come. I lived during Montreal's ice storm. You've heard me mention it. I was there. I was just transitioning out of Quebec to go on the road. And that January, I'll tell you, I saw wealthy people cry. Folks, hear me. I saw wealthy people bawl. Cry is when you do it nicely. Bawl is when you have no shame left. Why? Because poor people had cash and wealthy people had cards. Many of them, people were selling things. Stores were opening their windows and doors, and they were just giving things cash because there was no electricity. Anyway, was anyone in Quebec then? Well, stand up, you who were there. Stand up. Do you remember where? You remember that? Right? Did you go somewhere to get food? But the wealthy couldn't come to those places because it's like, do you want my card? It can't help you. The other issue too, poor people were trading. I got flour. You got oil? We got a back stove. We got a barbecue. Others are like, well, we have stocks and bonds. If I was wise then, I should have walked around and give me your stock. And just sharing as an example online, in-house, morning by morning, new mercies we see. I cannot put my faith in all that I have in the world. I've got to put my faith in all that He is in this world. Proverbs 23:4-5 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. I should have put that one in bold, and I will for the next second service. Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. And so helping others helps us, because we then place our trust in God, not our striving in what we think will help us to have everything perfect in a difficult time. Yes, hear me again, church folks, do not be foolish and go out and say, Pastor said, give everything away. Never said that. Be wise in what you do. What did Moses do? Moses said, take up as much as you need. If you need plenty, take plenty. If you need little, take little. But he says the next morning, it's all going to go to maggot if you took more than you needed. One reminder here, store up your treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:18. Do not store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat them and rust destroy them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. So I want to remind us, helping others helps us. This is not just about mission now, this is about the nations of the world. Because we've become so self-absorbed that we're constantly only thinking of what impacts us, not what impacts the world. And so I want to share a very familiar text. I love this story because it always comes alive. And here it is in 2 Kings 6:24-27, 2 Kings 7:1-11. My text here to you is that when the Lord speaks, how are you going to respond? When God puts some nation on your heart, how are you going to respond? Because it is incumbent upon us that we stop thinking only of ourselves or of our own place. That we begin to have a broader perspective. So I'm going to read this very familiar story with you. And I'm going to have to hasten to read it because I want to come to an amazing close as we then begin to bring into fruition that which we're hearing through this word. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 to 27, and verse 7, 1 to 11. I'm going to read very quickly. Sometime later, however, Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army, besieged Samaria. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called out to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food nor threshing floor nor wine on the press to give you." But then the king asked, "What's the matter?" And she told a story, which is another intense story. I've used this passage before, and sometimes I skip that story because then we get lost in the translation of it, which requires an entire message. But what's the message of the Lord to you today? Here's where it comes in, 2 Kings 7. Elijah said, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver. 12 quarts of barley will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer assisting the king said, "That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." Elijah replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat of it." Don't ever let the Lord block your blessing because you're faithless. That's why my title was Fearfulness or Faithfulness. Got to use your faith to stir up the assurance that God has given you that He will take care of you. Folks, my cry today is we remember who takes care of us. Because the world's going to be crying and we can't just sit down and cry with them. "Oh, I don't know what we're going to do now." And then we all sit down as Christians. "I join you in that cry." No. No. So here it is. "Now there are 4 men with leprosy." It's my favorite. One of my favorite. I love the whole Bible. But this is so good. "There are 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they ask each other. "We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we'll starve if we go back. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Armenian army. If they let us live, so much better. If they kill us, well, we would have died anyway." So at twilight, they set out to the camp, but when they got to the edge of the camp, no one was there. "For the Lord caused the Armenian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us," they cried. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, everything as they fled. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine. They carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Scarcity mentality? You don't hide what you're going to wear unless you're afraid. Finally, by the way, you know me, I have moments that pop in my head. By the way, all you folks that buy clothes and don't want to wear it because you're saving it up for one day when you'll wear it, you better be sure they don't put you in the casket in it because you didn't wear it. And all of you with those dishes that you're saving for your children that you won't wash, put it in the dishwasher because your children are never going to use it. They're going to break it because they're going to use paper plate or plastic plate or napkins. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city and told the gatekeepers what had happened. "When we went out to the Armenian camp, no one was there. The horses and donkeys are tethered, and the tents are all in order, but there isn't a single person around." Then the gatekeeper shouted the news to the people in the palace. Folks, this is a 3-part message that you're getting in 1 part today. Promise me one day you'll stay till 3. And I'm going to go back on this passage because every word matters. But let me just say this to you. When God allows clatter, your enemy will panic and flee. But don't you be caught up in the clatter. We are the reflection of the city and the society we live in by the norms we create. And if we don't start developing norms where even the children will step into those norms, they're going to grow up faithless and fearful. Isn't that what we're seeing already? Christians need to demonstrate norms in society that show love, generosity, respect for others, peacefulness, contentment, and trust in who God is and what God does. Do you know what we're not seeing? We're not seeing genuine love. They'll put all kinds of a love emoji, but they don't love. And they don't understand love. We're not seeing generosity. No, I can't give to anybody. It's all for me. And even the kids now, do you know there were times at Christmas, kids would be happy to give their toys to other kids, and they'd be content if you gave them so much. Now it's like they're going to have a meltdown and go to their guidance counselor and say that they've been deprived, you know, and they need to see a psychologist. We created that because we didn't teach them generosity. Respect for others. I can't preach that, can I? Because that is gone in the norm of society. But that doesn't come from just children learning lack of respect. When we do not respect each other, they then learn how to backtalk and lip everyone. Those of you that are from great nations outside of North America, you knew growing up, you didn't backtalk adults. Now the five-year-old's going, I said now. Ow. All of you mature adults, we can never touch a child, but get your eyes, get the eyes that speak, the eyes that see to your soul. Get your eyes ready at Christmas. They know. Don't you know? You know what I'm talking about. Right, Nan? The norms, peacefulness, contentment. Is this generation content? Trust in who God is and what God does. If that's why I'm not saying that you shouldn't want to succeed. But let your trust not be in what you consider success. Because in a moment, you wouldn't have know what to hold on to. When things seem hopeless, God is still there. If you do not, here's the one I want. If you do not impact the nations will impact you. Do you know that? We're not living in obscurity. Right now we're global. Whatever affects one nation affects us. Whatever is being built, whatever nuclears, what everything affects everybody, whatever country is impacted at war, it impacts the rest of us. So my hope is not in what I have in the nation I live in. My hope is in God. The nations need to know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you will come soon, because it's only going to get worse. But when right now things seem hopeless, remember God is still there. One author said, money is valuable only as a medium of exchange for the absolute necessities of life. It is freely parted with under the pressures of starvation, and it is powerless to avert one from disaster, destruction, or death. So I want us to remember a key verse that will happen here. When the prophet Elijah said, God is going to bring change tomorrow. Here's what the man that was with the king replied. First, let me back up. I'm going so fast now as I watch the clock. Back up to 2 Kings 6:27. Put that on for me. When the prophet said at first to the king's man, the king's right hand, tomorrow God is going to bring change. You know what he said? If I'm preaching ahead. Calm down. You can take an extra 5 minutes. When the woman went to the king and said, what are we going to do? We have nothing. The king said to the woman, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help from? Who was answering her? Who was answering her? Who owned everything? Who makes the dictations? Who sets the laws? What's the king saying? You better ask God to help you. Can I just tell you, we're going to have come to a time when our governments are going to tell you, you should have had faith in whoever your God is, because we can't help you. And so I'm just going to remind us, that's what's going to happen. And we better know that our faith has grown in the times of prosperity so that it will be strong in the times of need. When the heavens are shut up, God will still speak. And the church must be poised in these days to be the answers, a place of strength and a place of faith, a spiritual place where answers are found in the devastating questions of life. When I don't know what to do, I need to be able to pray. When we can't help everybody, we need to stand in prayer that God will send the ravens of heaven or the water trucks that can't drive. Let them get through the hard places so everybody sees only God did it, because no human could fix it. Hallelujah. Thank you. So we've got to return to the Lord in trust, because ungodliness fosters disaster. Here's what happened in Jeremiah 25, is when Israel had walked away from God. The Lord says, But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourself all the disasters you now suffer. Everyone's blaming God, but you realize when a nation begins to be wiped out, it's because it has turned its back also from God. Disasters are going to come. God is not sending it. But the enemy knows where to strike when he sees that people have lost faith in the power of Almighty God. But it returns us back to God. I want us to remember the king told the woman, "You God better help you." And when Elisha then said to the king's armor bearer, "By this time tomorrow, you will see it and it will come to pass." You know what he said? God can't do it. You know, there are people right now listening to me online, in-house, and they're going, "Yeah, I know, but God can only do so much." Check yourself, because it's a secularized mentality that has consumed us. God can only do so much. Folks, I put my hands and my life in God's hand, because society's focus on scarcity is creating a hoarding mindset that makes me think if I have enough stored somewhere, then I'll be okay. There's going to come a time with all that's going on, all the AI stuff, the manipulation, the scammers. Some people are going to get to the point they got so much, they're going to hide it under the bed and hide it in the mattress. But let me tell you, thieves will break in and steal the mattress. Chris? Quick one. A friend of mine, I know this story personally because her family were all caught up in the fight. Uncle was single, didn't like anyone, didn't trust anyone, but was very wealthy. But he didn't trust banks either, because he didn't want the bank, because they were in a small town. And they didn't want, actually, Pastor Rob, you understand, small town Newfoundland, actually, because a good friend of mine. So he didn't want the bank people to know how much money he had, because the bank people are all related to other people that he didn't want to know. So every time he got his money and he took it out of his store, he would put it in the wall of his house and seal up the wall. And he did this and did this and did this till he died. When he died, first thing they did, because he didn't have a relationship, was they sold the house and split the money. The person who bought the house was renovating and discovered the whole wall of years, almost 30 years of money. So they all went to court, his entire family, the developer that was digging the wall, and the owner of the house. And the owner of the house won the case, because there's all of you real estate people, apparently there's a clause that chattels and everything included. So it was whatever was included in the thing belonged in the house. Imagine. All your life, you wouldn't bless a soul, and a stranger goes and buys a yacht. Folks, let me bring this to a close. Your goods and God's good news is unhealthy when kept to yourself. Your goods and God's good news are unhealthy when kept to yourself. So we can't just sit here and do nothing. The nations of the world and our cities are spiritually lifeless. So I want to challenge us this morning. Worship team, I skipped through this message that should have been a three-parter. I really did. I wish I could have given it to you piece by piece, but we're not in revival yet. When we're in revival, nobody will be leaving. Second service will be coming and they won't find space. Until then, I had to squeeze it all in. God, help us not to develop a scarcity mentality while the nations are hurting, while peoples are hurting. Do you know, just because it doesn't impact us today does not cause, should never cause us to not think and pray and help every time we hear, because God will always provide. And there are many who ask, Pastor, what's the church doing? The church is the people. Do you know how many calls I've had? What's the church doing? Well, I'm you the church. What are you doing? Hello. You saw even with our missions dollars, we're just under 100,000 short. That means I get to write letters to those that I'll say, we're cutting you back. And then others are like, Pastor, why isn't church doing something? If I could read some of those letters we got, emails we got this week, and I'm like, the ones that are writing it are not even doing anything themselves. They just want to put it on somebody else. That's why they write. Because when you're going to do something, you'll say, Pastor, I want to do this and add it to whatever is there. And so it's like, what's the church doing? I didn't hear anything. And it's like, folks, we all have a responsibility to reset the norms by walking and living and dwelling in faith, but remembering every nation at all times. There's no one nation superior to another. Can I say that again? Online, there's no one nation superior to another. We're all God's children, hurting, desperate. And if God doesn't help in these times of hurting, in these seasons of scarceness, then who's going to help? Because it's God who will do it. Do you know how many people are sitting here hurting right now? I won't ask you to raise your hand. Just raise your head up. There's hurting people always among us. So when God has blessed us, don't let it become an issue of pride. I'm okay. Because pride goes before a fall. But may we have a passionate heart for the entire nation, Canada, and then for the nations of the world. That's part of our mission, folks. Can you receive this message from me today? Can you forgive me for chopping it up? Let me bring it to you another time in three parts. Could you handle it? No, some can't. It's all right. See, if I preach it in three parts, you're going to love it.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.